Every week we come together to worship our God, and we are the third service. And I'm so thankful that you are my people, that I am your pastor. And tonight I have this opportunity to speak to you about something that is close to my heart. I am not someone who craves preaching week after week. You probably know that because I'm rarely up here preaching. And I also push coffees on you weekly, one-on-one interaction. I like that. I'm more comfortable with that. But tonight I want to share something that God has put on my heart, and I believe he's speaking to our third service specifically. I didn't preach this morning. I'm just preaching tonight. I want to start by telling you a story. And I tell it because it broke my heart. And I also tell it because I don't know anyone in the story per se, but it reminds me of my wife. My wife is part First Nations. She spent some time in Kamloops. And this story is connected in both of these ways. Listen to this story. When she was just 6 years old, an Aboriginal girl from Kamloops, with a bad heart, watched her beloved mother smoke crack cocaine while she sat there with the fridge and the cupboards absolutely empty. Social workers were alerted to Paige's condition and yanked her from the home, one of multiple times in her short life that she was temporarily taken from her addicted parents. This time in February of 2000, she was sent to live with her maternal grandparent. Little did anyone know that her grandmother's boyfriend would molest her. A year later, after Paige had been returned to her struggling mother, the 7-year-old child complained about this molestation. Police started to investigate, but after the extended family started to put pressure on Paige, she recanted and said, nothing happened. I lied about that. It was this traumatic start to life that ultimately led Paige to self-destruct on the downtown east side in Oppenheimer Park in a communal washroom where she overdosed just 2 years ago. She met the same end as her mother and her grandmother before her. And where we're sitting tonight here in Mount Pleasant, it's only a few blocks from where Paige died that night. In all of the different stories I've read in the news about Paige's situation, I never heard any mention of someone offering a safe place for her to go. No mention of a neighbor who fed her. No mention of anyone who clothed her. And I don't blame anyone specifically. How can we? But this story, as I said at the beginning, breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. And I wonder if Paige had encountered the love of God through God's people before she was 19, if her life would still be going on today. Who knows? Tonight's text comes from the last story written in the Gospel of Matthew before Jesus takes his descent to the cross, before Jesus himself is hung on the cross and dies, like Paige. And there's these last words that Jesus gives to his followers. They're obviously important. They're critically important. They're the last things that he says. And he's direct and he's clear in the text tonight about what he wants his followers to do after he dies and is resurrected and goes to live with the Father. About how and why we must care for the most vulnerable and needy among us. That's what he's leaving with his followers. Jesus' words were for his everyday followers, just like tonight. There are many everyday followers of Jesus Christ sitting right here. And he was speaking directly to them. And so tonight we're going to do something different. We're going to do something we don't typically do here at 10th. And that is, instead of putting the words of Scripture on the screen behind me that we can read along, I'm literally going to bring the gospel out into our community, into the center of our community. And I'm going to ask you to please stand as I walk out. And as I walk out, I want you to turn and I want you to face the gospel. This is literally the gospel at the center of our worshiping community. And that's where we want to keep it. So would you please stand with me and turn and face the gospel of Jesus Christ for the people of God tonight. And I'm going to sneak by you. I'm also going to do something that hopefully I won't get in trouble for. I'm going to stand up. At the end of this reading, we're going to do something else. As a community, we are going to say thanks be to God after I say the words of God for the people of God. Let's read from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of his angels around him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and he'll put the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, tonight you have challenging words for us. And we want your Spirit to do something new in our third service community that you haven't done before. But that requires us, God, to open ourselves to you. And so through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls, that we might hear you clearly and have the courage to follow you where you might ask us to go. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Gospel commentators say this is one of the most important stories next to the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew. Because Jesus is explicitly telling his followers how they will actually inherit eternal life, or what will keep them from it. Jesus is essentially talking about the big exam. And tonight, he's giving us the cheat sheet. How many of you have wished for the cheat sheet at some point? Don't lie to me. I know there's some of you who've cheated. I know that. We're currently in a sermon series on true greatness, and tonight we are looking at how the truly great seek justice for the vulnerable. And it's my conviction that the truly great are those who follow Jesus and his call to care for the least and the most needy among us by showing practical care. And as Jesus said, when we do this for others, we're actually doing it for Jesus himself, directly for God. Jesus says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We can think of it like this. One of the quickest ways into my good books is to look after my two daughters. You can babysit them for free anytime you want. No, really, I mean, if you show love and care and concern and you take time,